Welcome in to the Late Night Gamecock Show. I am your host, Matt Anderson, and joining me as always is Alex Jones of thebigspur.com. Alex, how we doing?
Doing good. It's good to be back here. Actually, I think it's going to be the first night of actually being light outside till 7:30, so I know I'm here for that. Don't know about everybody else out there, but that's always makes me happy this time of year. I mean, summer's coming.
I am so here for that. Me too. When it gets dark at 4:45, 5:15, it just feels like my entire day is gone. I hate it.
Yeah, when you're like driving home from work or something, or driving and it's you can feel it getting like that dark kind of at 3:45 or so. Like, nah, it's I'd much rather it be like till 9:30 or so.
Absolutely. So I'm happy for daylight savings. As you can see in my recurring little, I don't know what you call it, Alex, little thumbnail underneath my name. It is March and conference basketball tournaments are going on right now. You have teams that have punched their ticket to NCAA tournament. That's exciting. Next week will be very exciting. And then before you know it, next, golly, Alex, 7 days from now will be Selection Sunday. So we'll have a lot to talk about that night. And whoo.
Yeah, I mean, it's already, you're already seeing some of these conference tournaments going, especially like I think it was the Sun Belt has that crazy tournament bracket where your 1 and 2 seeds aren't playing until like there's already been 9 games or something like that. It's something crazy, but it's the best time of the year.
Yeah, it's super fun, especially for basketball heads like me and Alex. I do want to say we have a lot to get to tonight. There's baseball, there's softball, there's obviously men's and women's basketball, there's football stuff. We're going to start with football after the break. But I do want to acknowledge the passing of Lou Holtz. Gamecock fans, young and old, all know the legend of Lou Holtz. And for everything he did on the football field as a coach for the Gamecocks, as a coach for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, going back to Ohio State, I mean, New York Jets. I feel like he coached everywhere. But for me personally, it's been a difficult time because Lou Holtz did something for one of my best friends, or my actual best friend as a child, who was diagnosed with leukemia. Towards the end of Tyler's life, Tyler McNally, I'm talking about, he spent countless hours on the phone at MUSC talking with him. Even after he passed away, Lou Holtz arranged for a private time before the funeral because he had to go on the road for a Gamecock football game to go spend time with Tyler on the day of his funeral. Tyler passed away on the same day as the fade. So Gamecock fans know that when backup quarterback comes off the bench, throws a pass to Jermell Kelly and beats Mississippi State. So Tyler passed away that day. I was on the way to the stadium and you'll never convince me that Tyler didn't have a part in that. And it's an incredibly difficult time, but I just want to, just shout out Lou Holtz as a person. I know that there's been so many things said about him in different ways since he left South Carolina, but true class act. I know that heaven gained another angel and just tough time, but also let's remember him for what he was. And I mean, I know there's been so many tributes for him as just the head football coach of South Carolina, but for what Lou did to Tyler, I actually presented a key to the city of Florence, South Carolina to Lou Holtz when I was 12 years old. So just a remarkable guy, what he did that no one ever talks about. And Tyler, I'm sure, is just one of, you know, I don't know how many examples, but a number of them. So want to honor Lou Holtz. And with that being said, we'll get right into the Late Night Gamecock Show.
Gonna turn on the late night show. Hear what's going down in Cooktown. I said I'm turning on late night show. Yeah, my cocks will let me down.
Welcome back into the late night Gamecock Show. I'm getting tongue-tied here. Yeah, Alex, so spring ball, it started. I know there's media availability that first day. I know how that works. You get to see some stretching, maybe a couple drills. Better in the first part of spring than it is, you know, let's say, second day of fall practice. But yeah, you were there. Takeaways?
Yeah, and we were out there for a good bit. Like, it was only three periods, but the periods were a little bit longer than they normally are. But, you know, got to see a lot. You got to see, you know, the stretching drills, things like that. But then you got to see some position drills, station work. So, you know, you don't get to see, you know, the like, I guess, in-game stuff. But, you know, the thing you do get to do is just kind of lay eyes on these guys and see from a physical standpoint who's standing out and things like that. You know, a few guys that really kind of caught my attention. The first one was Isaiah Augusta, a running back who I think has taken a step forward from a physical standpoint. He was the first one where he had changed numbers. He's number four now. And I was kind of watching one drill, and I was like, man, who's number four just from a physical standpoint? And saw it was him. I'm sure y'all probably saw the videos and all that online, but Julian Walker just looks like, if you didn't know better, like, you'd see him and think that guy's getting ready for his junior year or something like that. Like, just physically, he looks ready to go. And he's going to have an opportunity this spring with some of the injuries they're dealing with at that edge spot. So, you know, that was kind of some two guys, but, you know, it's kind of, you know, a lot of the same what you see out there, you know, the intensity of practice. There's constant movement in between drills, during drills. So that was kind of our first little sneak peek, and they're all for, they got three spring practices, and now they're all for spring break this week, and then be back next week. But, you know, I thought just from a physical standpoint, that was a couple of guys, and, you know, we'll see kind of what else comes from it. But, you know, I thought just overall a lot of, from a physical standpoint, it was good to see a lot of those guys.
Yeah. So you mentioned two, like, overall, Alex, you've been to a lot of practices for the Gamecocks, you know, from a physicality standpoint, or I should say just physical standpoint. And a lot of times, I mean, they probably weren't even wearing pads. I'm not even sure if they were in pads or not.
No.
But from, like, a physique standpoint, do they look like an SEC team to your eyes?
I think so. And, you know, that's been the same here these past few years. I think, you know, those first, you know, few years under Beamer, that was kind of a work in progress to get to that point. But I think these past few years, and that's including the practice we saw on Monday, like, they look like an SEC team. And now it's just kind of getting some things ironed out from a, you know, play call and things like that standpoint to get things ready to go.
Yeah, it's always funny to me, Alex, when we go out to the 7-on-7s and, you know, we're there to watch the high school guys, but inevitably you interact or you see some of the guys that are on the team. And it always blows me away the difference in size from a high school sophomore, high school junior, high school senior to a Nick Imamwari, who's, like I've said this before, his triceps, his delts were bigger than my head. So this is an important, I say that to say, like, despite spring practice, you had winter, you were going to have spring, you're going to have summer. These guys' main focus right now is getting down Kendall Browse playbook, getting on the same page with Clayton White, and then special team figuring out their side of the equation. But these guys are still going to make leaps, and they're going to look completely different in fall. Some guys might be carrying weight they're not going to carry later because they're trying to build muscle mass. Or, you know, some guys might look a little smaller because they're shedding weight to increase some other ability of their game from the physical standpoint. So it's always interesting for me to get eyes on the players those first couple weeks and then see them again in summer, seeing them again in the fall. Alex, offensive line seems to be whatever. Sorry, Exo made me laugh. Exo, you're always great for a couple of little quick responses. Exo says now they just need to play like an SEC team. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, early signs are they will. In the signs that we get are the signs. The word we get out of the building is always positive this time of year. And it's one of the things that I like to talk about when I get the opportunity. I promise you, everything you're going to hear in spring is great. Everything you're going to hear in the summer is great. In the fall is when you're going to start hearing, ooh, this might be questionable, but I think we're on the right track.
Yeah.
And then after the season, it's going to be, well, that didn't work out, or, you know, this guy just didn't get where we needed him to go. So, you know, I hear a lot of people saying things, and I don't mean this in a negative way, Alex, that you cover the team, but we're not there for all 15 bowl practices. We're not there for all of spring practice. We're not there for all of fall practice. We can only go on what is being told to us. And a lot of times, Alex, you know, that's told through a positive light. And it's the same thing for Lamont Paris and the basketball program this year. I promise you, every coaching staff in the nation is going to be roses until the games start. So I just wanted to harp on that a little bit just to say, Exo, you're exactly right. They need to play like an SEC team. Next year, whoever the coach of the men's basketball team is needs to get that team playing like an SEC team. looking like an SEC team is important, but playing like one is most important. So, XO, you're all over it.
Yeah, 100%. Like, that's, you know, looking like an SEC team is the first step. You want to look like an SEC team coming off the bus, but it's obviously a whole lot more to it, because we've seen either around here or anywhere else where you can look the part, but there's just other things that got to go into it.
So, Alex, with the spring being underway right now, I mean, my biggest concern, question mark, is the offensive line. Absolutely. Like, and y'all know my mantra. I've said this numerous times on this show, on other shows, on thebigspur.com. I have to see it to believe it. So, Alex, you know, looking at these offensive linemen transfers, a lot of these guys are kind of portaling up. You obviously have, what, Ferris State coming up to the SEC. Your take on the offensive line, what you're able to see. I know that there's some clips that went viral. We don't have to get into that. That's been discussed ad nauseum at this point. But offensive line, these guys are going to have to be mobile. They're going to have to be agile. They're going to have to be smart. They're going to have to be able to do smart. I shouldn't say that, because you can't really see that. Just guys walking off the bus and through drills. But, you know, the offensive line from a size standpoint, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, JC and I talked about that on the show on Thursday. Like,
Sorry, I didn't hear it.
Oh, no, I'm just adding a point to it. But, like, you know, when talking about that, like, you know, you looked at that offensive line last year, it was just a big, you know, kind of big physical group. And I think that was kind of went to the part of where they're trying to – how they're trying to play last year, where a lot of this just, you know, run between the tackles, things like that type of thing. You know, I think, you know, South Carolina's offensive line from a physical standpoint looked fine in practice from what we saw. But, you know, they're going to be moving a whole lot more in this Kendall Browse offense, where there's a pass 20 yards down the field. They're not going to be jogging to get back into the hole. They're going to be sprinting to get down the field and sprinting to get set, and then sprinting during the play. So, like, there's going to be a lot of movement with this offensive line. And, you know, it is going to be interesting to see how it kind of shakes out from the spring. Like, you know, I don't know if we're going to get to see any type of a depth chart types of things or drills and things like that, where sometimes we get to see some 11-on-11. I don't know this spring if we're going to be able to see that, especially with no spring game or things like that. But, you know, I think just that starting five, like, how close do they get in the spring to naming that starting five? Because we talk about it every year. Like, that's something that you want to really have kind of locked down beginning of preseason camp to let those guys roll. But, you know, kind of talking to some of those guys, either be it transfer media availability or the first press conference, like, I think with so many new faces in that room, they have built a pretty strong chemistry. And I think they're all kind of buying into to Randy Clements and those guys and what they're trying to do. So that's going to be, I think, off the line is going to be the position that everybody's talking about now in spring. But going into the season, that's what everybody's going to have their eye on. You know, I think another few interesting positions I'm going to be keeping an eye on. Running back, that's one where there's just so many different options in that room with six different guys into that. Stan Drain kind of built that room out. That's going to be the one to watch. I think wide receiver is another really intriguing thing. But I think with those positions, like, that's one that you feel good about, because they are, you know, quality options that you feel like could really work out in this Kendall Browse system. It's just kind of finding out what that rotation is going to look like. You know, I think defensively, like, you know, you think about, you know, that interior D tackle spot's got a lot of promise from some of the guys they're bringing back, but then what they're adding. And then at edge spot, you know, I think, you know, I mentioned Julian Walker, but, you know, who knows how much Dylan Stewart's actually going to do in spring. I think that's probably a smart decision just with what he was dealing with. Like, it's probably smart to limit him, but that's going to provide, you know, it could be, you know, a blessing in disguise type of thing, where you're letting a lot of these other guys who could take some of the reps he would have had in practice, because they're going to need some, you know, depth in that room. So it could end up working out pretty well for him.
Yeah, and moving on to defense, since you took us there, which I think is awesome, because we got to get all this stuff in. My biggest question mark for South Carolina this year isn't defensive tackle. It's not defensive end, because most years they work that out. They do. I mean, it happened last year. We were all worried about defensive tackles. It worked out well. I think that the biggest leap that any grouping on the defense has to accomplish this spring and then into the fall is linebackers, because those guys are going to be counted on so much. We've seen flashes, we've seen the talent, and those three guys, and they didn't bring in a lot from the transfer portal at all. They didn't bring in a lot from the freshman class. Those three guys are going to have to be dudes. And that's what I want to see. I want to see that consistency. I want to hear about that consistency. I want to see these guys, because let's be honest, Alex, they're not going to be pressured for playing time this year. Like, they're pretty locked in. So I got to see all of those guys take a jump, because I think it could be one of the best linebacking cores in the SEC.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one where, you know, they're going to be pretty comfortable in Clayton White's system. Those all three guys, Sean Murphy, Justin Okwuanko, and Fred Johnson, all three of those guys have been in that system now. And I think now you just want to see those guys take the next step. Like, you saw Sean Murphy and Justin Okwuanko really as the season gets on, progress last year, get better and better, especially Justin Okwuegbo. Like, I thought he was kind of the standout of that room. Sean Murphy was getting a whole lot better towards the end of the season. And Fred Johnson, I think you know, like, his potential and what he did or what he can do. Like, I think you want to see now that starter year one to starter year two type of jump from him. So it's an intriguing group too.
Yeah, we're gonna talk a lot about the football team going forward. We're gonna keep getting little tidbits that come out of spring practice. And like I said, just remember, y'all, it's gonna be pretty rosy. So just remember that. Baseball, I think, should be just getting underway. They start at 7:15. But Alex, let's go back to this past week on the diamond. If you look at it here, the Gamecocks are 4-0 on the week. USC Upstate, they won 12-3. Go to that Charleston Southern game, 4-1. Charleston Southern has been a pretty good team this year. And then Princeton 10-7 and Princeton 4-3 in a doubleheader yesterday. They're playing Princeton right now. We'll try and keep score updates coming as we're on the show tonight. But Alex, in your mind, has the baseball team shown you anything that changes your mind about their outlook over the last four or so games?
I don't think so. I think there's still a lot to prove. Like, you want to see them go find a way to go win that Clemson series. Like, you had a good game one, they just weren't able to do much in the game two or game three from an offensive standpoint. And then Princeton, like, you know, Princeton's had some, you know, success in these first two games. So kind of want to see what they do tonight, but there's still a lot to prove for the same as SEC play starts next weekend.
That's where I'm at entirely, Alex. I mean, I got the stats up. They're all these stats are through yesterday. The team's still hitting 280 overall. You have three guys over 300. I guess Will Craddock's over 300 and Logan Sutter's over 300, but they're not. They haven't played in every single game. They haven't got maybe the statistics, but so you got five guys right now. They're hitting over 300. I think that's fine in SEC play, but I still go back to getting on base via walk. It's been harped on. I'm not going to continue with it, but stolen bases, the team is 6-14 now. That's not good enough. So manufacturing runs is what I'm worried about with this team. I want to see the crooked innings, as we've talked about before. On base percentage is 3.68. The pitching staff has a 3.32 ERA. Teams are only hitting, let's see, where is it? 2.27 against this pitching staff, but it's about to get real. And that's what I'm worried about. When it gets to SEC play, they open up with Florida. Florida is one of the top 10 teams in the country. And is that home or away, Alex? I haven't looked yet.
That's at Florida. But Florida, I know they lost the first two games to High Point this weekend. Like, I saw they're losing game three. I haven't seen a score from that game. But that's going to be an interesting series just because that's both teams that are going to need a good start to SEC play.
Yeah, and you're thinking about Florida. They're probably, even with a series loss to High Point, which is definite now. I mean, the series sweep is in play. You know, they'll probably take a tumble to 16, 17, 18, 19 in the country. I don't know, because Florida always gets the benefit of the doubt in the rankings. But South Carolina, 4-0. Hopefully they make it 5-0 here tonight. And then you get into SEC play, you're on the road, and Florida is a pretty wild experience for a visiting team. I think we're going to – me personally, Alex, I'm reserving my right to judgment on this team until they get through six SEC games. Mm-hmm. And if they're looking at 1-5 or 0-6, like, I don't blame any Gamecock baseball fan for just turning it off the rest of the year. You got a lot of other stuff to do, and to give a team, what, 12 hours over 3 days? That's a lot.
And I think that goes to the point of just having something to prove. Like, I think if you win that Clemson series, I think, you know, fans will, you know, be starting to buy in a little bit. Still, probably still, you know, skeptical and, you know, want to see an SEC play. But now I think there's just so many, and rightfully so, of the fan base where it's just an either prove me type of thing. And, you know, by the way, on Florida, I looked up that series. They lost 7-2 to High Point, lost 6-2 to High Point, then beat them 12-11 today. So nearly got swept in that game. But again, that's going to be an interesting series just from looking overall the SEC perspective, because you know, Florida's had some issues in the non-conference play. I know, you know, they're ranked where they're ranked, but that's two programs that need a good start.
Absolutely. And look, if you look at just the SEC statistics right now, South Carolina's either dead last or second to last in batting average. And whoo, buddy, it looks rough. But look, I do want to give hats off to this pitching staff. I think overall, like, they've been, you know, 80-90% really, really good. Every pitcher is going to have some pitches they hope they get back. And sometimes it just doesn't happen. But Alex, when we look at women's basketball today, the women's basketball program is now 31-3 on the season. I guess what, 17-2 against SEC opponents. Two of their three losses have come to Texas. Today they just got beat, man. I think, you know, I was watching, I was waiting for this game to start, and I was watching, I think it was Duke and Louisville, and those programs, they went to overtime today. Duke pulled it out, but it was just kind of weird looking at the score on the bottom right where, or the top right where it said Gamecocks down 6-0, Gamecocks down 8-0, Gamecocks down 14-0. So you got yourself in a 14-point hole. You lost by 17. So you played the rest of the game to a one possession game. What do you think this team learned in this SEC championship?
Well, I think, you know, you just dug yourself too much of a hole to start with in that game and get down. I think it was 14-0, and, you know, Dawn Staley calls a timeout like that. That was just kind of it there. Like, they, you know, couldn't get back in that hole, out of that hole. And you got it, they got it close in some points where I think they got it down to maybe 9 points or so. But you always just felt like Texas was in control of that game. And I think it just ended up being too much of a hole to climb out of. And I think that's something where, I don't think they came out without energy, but it's just something where you got to bring your best to start every game, especially once you get into these NCAA tournament games, because things like that can happen. And I think it's also just one of those, like, you got to give credit to Texas. Like, they, you know, they're offensively, I thought Texas was really crisp in a lot of the things they did, especially and defensively too. But I mean, they were hitting everything from the mid range, and when they got open shots, they made them. And that's, you know, once you get into that Sweet 16 and kind of past that Elite Eight, Final Four types of rounds, like, teams can do that too. You know, if you're not on your game every game, stuff like a game like today can happen.
Absolutely. And look, basketball is, it's the same whether it's men's or women's. And Alex, you know this. I can look at a box score and you tell me a team won by 14, 15, 3, whatever. I can look at the box score and tell you why. And just looking at this game today, Gamecocks got out-rebounded by 9. You look at offensive rebounds, 11-6. The women made three-pointers today, 3 of 12. Texas was 4 of 7. So you don't really see, like, in the three-point comparison where, oh, they went plus 3. But it's those rebounds, man. And you look at the turnovers, Texas had 9, South Carolina had 14. And to make 4 threes, only 7 attempts of your 63 field goal attempts, they felt like they had an advantage. And looking at it, they did. They gang rebounded. South Carolina only had 2 players in double figures. And in watching this game, it was every time the Gamecocks made their run, right, to get it down to 9, it would go right back up to 17 quickly.
And Texas usually always had just that some type of response. And most of the time it felt like it was just a three-pointer, kind of a dagger type of three-pointer where that momentum just completely went back to Texas.
And it's funny, Alex, you say that, because I had to go back and look at the box score, and seeing they only made 4 three-pointers, it was like, oh my gosh. Like, they only made 4, but everyone was a dagger.
Came at the right time when Texas needed them.
Yeah, you look at Texas, they had 3 girls in double figures. The Gamecocks only had 2. That was Joyce Edwards with 13 and Maddie McDaniel with 10. But anytime you have Tanaya, Tessa, and Raven combining for 21 points, this team's going to be in trouble. Medina Okot only had 2 points in 23 minutes, 4 shot attempts. And this is what I always try and remind folks, like, the Gamecocks only shot 12 threes, right? I mean, that's stats. It's right there. But I guarantee you the game plan was for Medina Okot not to only have 4 field goal attempts. But once you get down, you try and win on every possession. So I'm going to take an ill-advised 3. I'm going to take an ill-advised layup. I'm not going to do the things that I know what I should do, because you really have to look at it. And South Carolina was down 27-12 after the first quarter. Texas outscored them 18-16 in the second. South Carolina gained 4 points in the third, but gave all that back in the fourth quarter. Once you get down 3 possessions in a basketball game, I don't care who you are. You can be, I mean, let's just go through Arizona, Kansas, Duke, Michigan, whatever. Like, your work is cut out for you, because that's when you can start shortening the game. That's why Eddie Fogler was famous for, you know, have a lead with 5 minutes to go in the game, he was going to win, because he learned that from Dean Smith. like possessions matter, and you can milk clock, you can do the right things, you can beat a tired team. And when you're constantly chasing the opponent, you're going to get tired faster. It's what happened. The men's team has interacted with that almost every single game of the season. They make that run, but it's just too much to get over that hump. And it just changes your rotation, it changes everything. So, Alex, I say this to say, thoughts on South Carolina losing. Obviously, they did. It looks like that probably took them from the number 3 overall seed to the number 4 overall seed. So they're probably still going to be a 1 seed. And now it just, you know, at least you avoid Texas until the national championship game.
It could be now. Like, I think the 3 seed's probably going to go to, you know, Fort Worth for the regional. South Carolina could be going to Sacramento now, it looks like, for the regional. So obviously across country, but you know, I think you have to imagine South Carolina fans, like, they'll still show up in Sacramento too. I think, you know, obviously you want to win every SEC championship, but you hope for Dawn Staley and the team, like, it's a learning experience for them in this game where you got to, you know, right from tip off, you got to be ready to go. And again, not saying that they weren't, but just you got to be, you know, on your P's and Q's, because teams like Texas and some of the best teams in the country, and once you get to Elite Eight level types of things, like, these types of things can happen. And if you're not, you know, ready to go from the start.
Yeah, and XO down here, he said it 7:26, so 3 minutes ago. But yeah, to XO's point, the only time you're going to see Texas again is going to be the national championship. So they're going to have to run that gauntlet. I think Gamecock fans hope that they get to play UConn. They're used to playing that game. It looks like that would be a Final Four type matchup if it comes to fruition. And UConn, you know, they haven't played the schedule that the SEC teams have had. We'll see if that matters. It might be like Clemson back in the day when you're playing an ACC schedule, you get to the college football playoffs and you're really healthy and you're firing on all cylinders. We'll just have to see. But Dawn Staley is an elite coach, and this film is going to be watched 100 times. Mm-hmm. The girls are going to watch, or the women are going to watch it 10 times. And what went wrong today is going to be changed when it comes to the NCAA tournament. And to your point, Alex, they're probably not going to get tested to the Elite Eight, Final Four. And you have enough time to kind of regroup and figure it out. But to have Tessa, Tanaya, and Raven going for, like I said, 21 points, that's just not enough for this team. And I would be shocked if you saw it again before the Elite Eight, Final Four. And Medina Okot, too. You're talking about 4 starters combined for 23 points. That's not going to happen again. But moving on to the men's side, Alex, they won a game.
Yeah, in exciting fashion, too.
Yeah, I mean, all those shots, you say, Michi, stop taking it. Hey, pretty cool for you to take that one, Michi.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it with the women's game. Like, you know, it's a little bit of an opposite thing here. Like, South Carolina get off to a really good start in this game. Now they late second half and into the second half, like Ole Miss made their run and South Carolina let Ole Miss back into it. But, you know, it was one of those where, you know, we've talked about South Carolina making shots and that it's as simple as that. You know, they were for the most part, you know, making some shots yesterday. And then, I mean, I think you had to feel good for Michi Johnson to be able to make that type of shot in the regular season finale, you know, a 30-foot buzzer beater like that. You know, I thought it was really interesting kind of just hearing Lamont Paris talk about postgame kind of, you know, the play and drawing up that play. And, you know, because they had drawn it up and then Chris Beard called a timeout. So he had to adjust a little bit. But Lamont Paris kind of said, hey, we kept playing A. And I, you know, I was surprised Ole Miss did not play Michi Johnson up closer than they did on that final play. Because, I mean, I think everybody in the SEC knows that Michi Johnson can, you know, hit those 30-footers with ease. And he did that. And, you know, I think that's just, you know, now South Carolina being the 15th seed in the SEC tournament, like maybe you 14. Try to – Yeah, sorry, yeah. And I think now that you do that, you know, try to carry some momentum into the SEC tournament, you're going to have to play Oklahoma first, which Oklahoma is a team that is starting to get hot at the right time and needs some wins in this SEC tournament to get into the NCAA tournament picture. But, you know, see what you can go do now.
Well, look, you know, I'll do the same thing I just did with the women. You know, look into this box score. This is a game where the Gamecocks out-rebounded Ole Miss 34-31, made 8 more three-pointers. Like, sometimes it's not hard. It honestly isn't hard. Like, you do those things that you can be good at. Mm-hmm. And for South Carolina, unfortunately, this entire season, they've had to rely on being good at those specific things in that specific game. But South Carolina out-rebounding them was great. To out-rebound them on the offensive end as well, I thought that, you know, showed well for the Gamecocks. Ole Miss, and I don't know if my preview ever made it up on ITG, But I thought the Gamecocks would win. They were 6.5-point underdog. I thought they should let it fly from three. You got nothing else to lose. And Norden Kapik, he got into the action, scored 12 points, made 2 3-pointers, 40% on the game. Michi made three. Obviously, the one you talked about was a clutch one. But 12 turnovers to 10, you outshoot somebody from three-point line by eight. That'll do it.
Yeah, Ole Miss, like, they got Malik Dia, who led them in points. I think he had 22. He's really good. Like, he was one of their key players in that Sweet 16 run last year. And he kind of got his, but then South kind of really kind of limited everybody else, especially from the perimeter. I think Ole Miss ended up 1 for 14 from three or something like that. Now, South kind of did leave a lot of points at the free throw line, too, being 11 for 18. But it's one of those things that it kind of cancels out. But you found a way to win. You found a way to end the season or in the regular season with a win. Now see what you can do in this SEC tournament.
And I think it was important for them to get that win. Because, look, I'm not going to mince any bones about it. Chris Beard's trying to get out of Ole Miss the best way he can. And I don't think he wanted to lose to South Carolina based on the season that South Carolina's having. But also, kudos to South Carolina for bouncing back from that Tennessee game. You know, maybe they just need more butts in the seats. Come on, Gamecocks, get out there. Alex was there. Alex, I know that Tennessee game was putrid as far as attendance. Probably more orange in the arena than garnet and black. But, you know, sometimes those things happen. And South Carolina met a physical force in Tennessee that they really can't compete with. And that's where, you know, this larger picture, Alex, and we're going to talk to more about this with Justin later. But I think that I don't want to say casual fan, because it's like, you're a fan, like, you care. But there were so many inefficiencies with this team that they weren't going to be able to fix halfway through the season. And if you just have a glaring weakness like that, every team that has the ability is going to attack it. Yeah. So that was tough. I do want to get your take on this, Alex, and this is kind of fun for me. So when I look at KenPom, and I reference KenPom a lot, and sometimes I feel like I need to explain KenPom a little bit more, because I didn't even grasp all of KenPom until the last 5 years, and I learned something every time I look into it. But right now, Alex, tell me if this is kind of crazy to you. South Carolina is ranked 95th overall at KenPom, and Miami, Ohio, who's 31-0, is ranked 90th. So when you look at KenPom rankings, what they're talking about is it's all predictive. If these two teams played on a neutral court and they played 100 possessions, we would expect this team to, in this case, Miami has a net rating of 8.97, South Carolina 7.89. It would essentially be a coin flip game. So, your thoughts on Miami? Like, would you take the Gamecocks head to head on a neutral court right now?
I don't know. Like, that team, that Miami Ohio team, like, they're finding ways to win these games late, and that's going to be a fascinating story to see how that kind of develops with their NCAA tournament bid bubble. And you know, if they don't get that large or the automatic bid, like, that's going to be something to follow. Like, I don't know. Like, it'd be a fun matchup though to keep up with to watch.
Because I'm having this argument with some friends right now, and, like, they love Cinderellas, right? Oh, Exo said the Gamecocks should join whatever conference Miami, Ohio is in. Yeah, that would be the Mid-Atlantic Conference, the MAC. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you really want to be in that conference for football. Because you're probably not going to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, and be playing in Williams-Brice on Tuesday night.
But, you know, looking at KenPom, Alex, this is interesting to me. And like I said, this is all predictive. This is based on that these two teams played on neutral court and played 100 possessions, blah, 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 like today. South Carolina is ranked ahead of Oregon, Pittsburgh, Mississippi State, Kansas State, UNLV. Go through it here. I think Maryland might have jumped them. But so, like, when you look at this in the grand scheme of things, Alex, what are your overall thoughts on this Gamecock program right now? Is this – a bad – well, actually, let me take a step back here. So if you go look at this year, South Carolina has a 7.89 rating if they played a game tonight. Mm-hmm. Last year, the Gamecocks were at 11.51, so that's better, right? So last year's Gamecock team would beat this year's Gamecock team by 4 points if they played 100 possessions. And you go back to 2024 where the Gamecocks had a great season and made the NCAA tournament, 14.4. on a neutral. So that team was better than last year's team, definitely better than this year's team, probably twice as good. But then you go back to Lamont's first year, and the Gamecocks were -3.79, which means that they played an absolute average team. They would lose by 3 or 4. So, like, that, those are the numbers for South Carolina. And again, these aren't numbers where, you know, it's saying whole season as a totality, right? But do you think that's about right for South Carolina, or do you think that they should be better?
I mean, I think it should be better. Like, I mean, I still think there's a lot of different things and ways to improve. Like, I mean, we've talked about some of the issues South Carolina's had. Like, if you just rebound the better ball the better than you did this year for the whole part, I think those numbers are better. I mean, we talk about from a shooting perspective, like, it should be pretty, you know, I would think easy to elevate those numbers a little bit just from, I mean, from a shooting standpoint. Like, you know, we thought South Carolina was going to be a better shooting team this year, and that has not turned out. Like, if you hit, I don't know of a number, but, you know, if you just do a whole lot better from a shooting perspective, and it sounds simple and as I'm saying it, but, like, you know, I just feel like there are different ways to improve that number and feel like it should be better.
Yeah, because, I mean, I look at it, Alex, and this is what's interesting to me. I know, like, people love to compare across conferences, right? And if you look at the average SEC team this year, they have an EM rating of 19.53. So it's like their adjusted efficiency. Actually, did you just say Justin's in? Let's bring Justin in. Let's hit a timeout, and we'll continue this conversation with Justin, because I think it'd be great to hear his gambling perspective on it.
Morning, Carl. Usual?
Yeah.
Your oldest was in here the other day. Said the two of you took a trip down to my neck of the woods. How'd that go?
You might as well give me one of those Carolina cards while you're at it.
I knew I liked that one.
Yeah.
There you go, my friend.
Thanks.
Hey, Carl. Congratulations.
See you tomorrow, Freddy.
You bet.
J.C. Sherbert here. Had a brilliant idea that some good friends of mine in Florence have told me about. Next time you're having a wedding or an event or anytime you got to feed a bunch of people, talk to my friends over at Flavortown Eats and Events. That's right. It's a food truck / trailer. Prepares the food fresh on site right there for you. No hassle. It's absolutely delicious. They'll come out, turnkey solution to feed the masses at your event. Go to their website right now, FlavortownFlow.com. That's FlavortownFlow.com. They have all the contact information you need, and they are a proud sponsor of the Late Night Gamecock Show and the Chiefs Sports Network.
Welcome to Palm Casual Patio Furniture. Because we are the factory, Palm Casual has the ability to offer the highest quality outdoor furniture paired with world-class service. Since 1979, our factory showrooms have done our best to make the buying process as easy as possible for our customers. Our understanding of the many factors that go into your decision has helped us create our 30-day trial period that increases the level of comfort our customers feel during the shopping experience. Visit us in Somerville, Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, and Bluffton, and online at palmcasual.com for our products and out-of-state locations. Go Gamecocks!
This is the Late Night Gamecock Show with the pride of Hampton County, Alex Jones. And with the king of late night, Matt Anderson. Go Gamecocks!
Welcome back into Late Night Gamecock Show. I want to thank all of our sponsors. Couldn't do the show without them, so thank you to them. And if you have a need for anything, Palm Casual, Kirby, Flowtown Flavor, you know, go ahead and enjoy that because they will help you out and they'll give you great service. So let's go ahead and bring Justin Lyles in from SportsCatValue.com. Jay Lyles with the shades. Man, I love it.
I had to wear them today because I'm hot this week, boys. I'm on fire. I had to let people know, you know?
There you go.
You know what? I told everybody to make sure that they were already subscribed and they were using that promo. And well, Justin, I had a million other things to talk about, but let's go ahead. Tell us about your week.
Well, you know, like 6 or 7 units on Tuesday night, a couple here and there. And then yesterday I go 8-2, almost 8 units on Saturday, really to close out the regular season with college basketball. I know it's closing out today, but the last Saturday of the regular season. Yeah. So we stay hot.
Hey, don't let the haters talk, man. You got this. I mean, and look, you know, Justin probably just got everyone's retirement home for them if they had just bet with him. You want to go live on an island, a private island? You call Justin. You go to sportscapvalue.com, enter promo code Gamecock, all caps, and you can also be living like Justin. So, look, and that's why I love the transparency, though, because last week, Justin, you said, hey, it's been kind of tough. And, you know, you're staying around 500. That's really honestly better than anyone could ever do on their own. But then you have these massive weeks like this and wear the shades proudly.
Man, you know, it was a tough February, but we start off March, right? And we feel like we're hitting our stride going into conference tournaments and March Madness. So let's go.
So, Justin, I want to get your take talking about the end of the college basketball regular season. When you look at South Carolina specifically, the regular season ended on a high note yesterday. Michi Johnson hit a game winner, 3-pointer. Like, for me, like, that's what I live for as a former athlete. You know, those are the moments that you want to have, right? But so the Gamecocks finished 13-18 in the regular season, 4-14 in conference play. Those wins came against the state of Mississippi. They probably hate the Gamecocks right now. Beat Ole Miss and Mississippi State, beat Oklahoma, and they beat LSU. Outside of that, there wasn't a lot to crow about for the Gamecocks. But if you were to look, or if we were, let's take it like a broad conversation here. I think you look at it and say, Lamont Paris has been here 4 years. This is his second worst season. You look at last year, even though the team didn't perform well, I think they won 2 games in the SEC. But I do think last year's team was better than this year's team. And then you have the crescendo of a 6-seed in the NCAA tournament. So if Lamont Paris gets year 5, and I know this is a heavy talking point in the Gamecock world, where do you say we can, like, it's okay? Like, if this, and this happens, I'll feel comfortable with it. And is there a way you feel comfortable, Justin?
I mean, not right now. How can you? You know, I think they showed some pictures of Colonial Life on, was it Tuesday night? We're playing Tennessee, and I felt sorry, you know, for the program, for their fans. It can only go up when it's this low, I guess. You know, I think it's there's the whole NIL perspective, and then, you know, there's rumors or whatnot of what South Carolina is spending. They're not even nowhere near anyone. But, you know, Kentucky spent the most, and then they're, you know, it's not like they're chopping at a national championship unless they go on some bizarre run. So I think they spent like $20 million is what I was reading or what have you. So just because you spend money on Make Street doesn't mean you're going to win. I think at the end of the day, it's all about the eye test. I hit on this a lot. When you look at our team, especially for this year, right, we're wrapping up the regular season, it's our guys are just not built to compete in this conference. I mean, you need big athletic guys, and my eyes don't tell me that. And if somebody disagrees with me, I'd like to hear it, because at the end of the day, it's all about evaluations. And I don't know what Paris and his crew are doing, but the evaluations have just not been there the last couple of years. Obviously, he hit a home run in 2023, but is that an outlier? I mean, we're 4 years in, and here we are. You know, we're win four games in conference this year.
So, Justin, you you're hitting on a lot of things that Alex and I were kind of talking about before the break, and for those that know hoops, for those that watch South Carolina, and Justin, like, you watch a lot of South Carolina, but you're not planning your weekend around the Gamecock basketball game anymore. And that in itself is something to be said, right? Like, you're saying that I don't want to give my 2 hours to this when I could give my 2 hours to my kids and my family, right?
No, that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, it was like when the Gamecocks were playing, I mean, and we're decent or nowhere near this bad. I mean, you look forward to when you knew when they were playing. You kind of set your schedule outside of basketball around to watch the Gamecocks. You got together with friends and family or what have you, or you went somewhere to watch the game. And for this last couple of years, it's like, man, I hadn't been to a game. They played today. Oh, okay, great. You know, like, and that's just being a long time. I mean, a lifer, Gamecock, a graduate, like, it should not be like that. And I know we were talking about the roster. There was some roster talk before I came on last week. I kind of wanted to hit on that real quick. Was like, you know, there was some discussion about players coming and going and who's going to leave and whatnot. At the end of the day, man, it's like, we won four games in conference. I'm not sure you want anybody to stay. So I just don't know that argument. I mean, there's one or two guys that I would have, and besides maybe Knox. We know Mitchie's going to be gone, but other than Knox, I mean, Knox is a pretty good player. I don't think he gets the credit he deserves this year. But other than that, like, do you want anybody to stay? And I say that respectfully, you know, like, we got to get better as a program.
And I think that's where Alex and I were kind of hitting on before you came on. It's one of those things where, like, if you watch this team all season, if they were built to hit three-pointers and they're not going to, unfortunately, I think that the large majority of the fan base has eternal hope, right? Like, give us the next game. We might start hitting threes. This could change. Like, Lamont's going to make a schematic change that's going to help the Gamecocks. But at some point with this team, and even last year's team couldn't take care of the basketball and couldn't shoot, right? There is nothing that Lamont Paris can do after 16 games to fix that. And this year, the team couldn't shoot, which they were supposed to, and they had no athleticism for rim protection or post play. So last year, I knew the season was going to end poorly 15 games in. Like, this year, I knew the same thing, you know, about 18 games in. And so, like, in my mind, I sit there and say, well, this sucks. It's not going to get better. But I think most fans think there's a way to make it better. And what you said, and Alex, I think you would probably agree with this, is it's evaluation. Mm-hmm. And if it's these kids are the best that we could get for the money that we had, that's one thing. I can forgive that. But if it's, well, this is the money we had, we targeted these guys, we couldn't get them, whether it's because of our record, whether it's because of money, whatever it is, then you got to be better at evaluation. There are players that are on this team that are making X amount of dollars that maybe you got two guys and got one and a half, you know, of a player on the roster, if that makes sense. I mean, when you play a team sport, you know that you're relying on somebody else either get you the ball or to take pressure away from you, right, Justin?
I think it's a little bit of both of what you're saying. Like, I think the perfect example of a guy you thought they, you know, could have had last year that'd make a perfect sense for this team is Robert McRae, who was at Jacksonville as a Columbia native and was really good at Jacksonville. And now he's over at Florida State. And I mean, he tore Clemson up a few weeks ago. Like, that, it's just one of those where I think there's a little bit of both going on.
And I go back to it, Justin, before you start, I'll go back to it. I know we only got a little bit of time left, but I really do think that Lamont thought he was going to have Colin Murray Boyles back. I think that he knew that Michi could be a point guard, and we've seen that Michi can play point. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how much in that Robert McRae wasn't, we don't want him, we don't like him, he's not a good basketball player, we have an established player coming back that we know can do the job that we need him to do. We're going to get a dead-eye shooter in Eagle staff. We're going to have Colin Murray Boyles back. But that still goes back to you got one of those three in the equation.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I was just giving one example with McRae. Like, I'm sure you can find some other examples there, but like, I think that is part of it. Like, it's just if some evaluations haven't hit, like, I know, especially in the post play, your post play evaluations just haven't overall hit there. And that's something that, you know, I'm sure we're going to talk about here a lot here as we get into this next phase of it.
Yeah, I just you look like I go back to what do my eyes tell me again, you know? It's I mean, you got the Ellis kid. The Ellis kid's not very, you can't, nothing he can do, you know, it's what God gifted him. He's just not a very big, tall kid, you know. And I see more of a club basketball team than I see at varsity level, you know, NCAA Division I. That's what I see. And I'm not trying to knock the guys, but that's what I see on the court, and you see what the results are.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And look, there might only be one more game in the Lamont Paris era at South Carolina. There might be 32 more plus. We don't know. It really is 50-50. I know that everybody wants a definitive answer and wants, you know, me or Alex to come on the show and say, hey guys, if you don't like Lamont Paris, don't worry, he's not coming back. But we can't say that right now. Right. Because there's just too much stuff in flux. I think regardless of anything, if you are someone that says they need more NIL to get better players, I think that will happen next year. I do think that commitment is being made. We'll see how it works out for Lamont Paris or some other coach. We just don't know yet. But Justin, one of my dying questions for you right now, and this is my favorite storyline in college basketball at the moment. I touched on this with Alex earlier. If you look at KenPom right now, and KenPom, I'm sure you probably know this, Justin, but when you look at his ratings, it's just going off of if these two teams play today and it was a neutral court and there were 100 possessions in the game, I would expect this to happen. So it gets skewed for home and away games. Different home courts have higher home court advantages. But Miami is 90th at KenPom right now. So if they played South Carolina today and played 100 possessions, South Carolina is 96th or 95th, it'll be 1 point. 1 point, Justin, over 100 possessions. So a coin flip game.
Wow.
If Miami, Ohio, who's ranked in the top 20 in the country, 31-0, loses in the MAC Conference basketball tournament, do you think they should be in the NCAA tournament, and do you think they will be?
Yes, I think they should be. And I say that they've been ranked. They've earned that spot. It's not like college football with 12 teams. This is a different situation here. Do I think they'll make a run? No, but I think they should be in the tournament. I don't think that if they do lose one game and, you know, not winning the conference tournament, I think they'll be in.
All right, Alex, same question to you.
Yes, I think they should be in. Now, the bubble conversation is going to be interesting because I think the bubble is kind of weak this year, so maybe that can help them too. Like, because, I mean, you got, like, Auburn on the bubble right now who's teetering.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, who's teetering on, like, not even having a winning record. Like, and right. the way they finished the season, like, that's why I think they're going to get in. I think they're going to win the conference tournament because, I mean, they've kind of proven that. But
all right. Well, I'll say this very quickly, and you guys know I'm not a gambler, but if Miami, Ohio gets in, I will be betting my mortgage on who they play against. Just saying that right now. They are going to be the worst team. If they get an automatic bid, let's say they don't win their conference tournament. If they get an automatic bid, they will be the worst, an at-large bid. They will be the worst team in the field that got an at-large bid. So,
yeah, Justin, they are at-large is going to be what? I think based on at-large is the highest number they could get would be, what, 11 seed maybe?
Yeah.
I think they'll be in the play-in. They'll be in Dayton, I think, if they get an at-large bid. And then, like, I because they've also had some of these games in this run where it's been pretty close and they've just escaped. So, I don't think it's been, like, a complete domination type of thing. So, I'm kind of with Matt there.
So I will, if it's a playing game, maybe that's a little dicey for me, but I'd still probably bet the other team. Right. But dear God, if they get a Texas A&M in a 6-11 game, give me Texas A&M all day, every day. That spread, I'm telling you right now, will be 16.
Well, I think this goes back to kind of like, you know, with the girls when they were playing, like, was it last year, the year before, where they went undefeated and lost? Was it last year? I can't remember. I think this is one of those situations where they need to lose, and I think they would benefit from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So and I think the pressure is just building up and building up per game, and then when you get into an NCAA tournament, it's who knows what's going to happen there.
So before we get out of here, guys, we got to make room for the SEC Sunday night folks, but the SEC tournament bracket has been posted. I'm not going to go through team by team and round by round because, as you know, there's a bye, there's a double bye, all of that. We're just going to talk about South Carolina's path. And South Carolina will play at 9:30 on Wednesday on SEC ESPN Network. So I don't know. I guess I'll be SEC Network, Alex. But they're the 14 seed. They'll play number 11, Oklahoma. We all know that South Carolina beat Oklahoma at home this year. So my question to each of you right now, does South Carolina – see Thursday in the SEC tournament?
Alex, you can go first.
I don't know. I don't like the matchup with Oklahoma. I know you beat them in the regular season, but I mentioned it. Like, they need some wins, and they probably need two, or they need to get to probably Saturday. But Oklahoma needs some wins, so I don't like the matchup there. And they're playing well right now.
Yeah, I'm with Alex. I think they're just turning the corner at the right time. I think they can go on a little run here. But it's hard to win 3, 4, or 5 games in a row. I mean, that's just not what you're used to. When you play 2 games a week and then you got to win that many back-to-back nights, it's tough.
So KenPom right now has it Oklahoma 78, South Carolina 72. Does that sound about right to you guys?
Probably. I like that, yeah.
My question is, can we play the game at 9:30 a.m. and not 9:30 p.m.?
Yeah, that makes it tough.
I didn't realize it, but Kentucky's going to be playing on Wednesday. Like that, I don't know if that's ever happened, but it doesn't happen often.
Yeah, and I can also tell you that Nashville, Tennessee is very excited to have Kentucky playing at 12:30 on a Wednesday, because that means after that game, there's going to be some people to stay in the arena and watch all the games, but there's going to be a lot of people on Bourbon Street, and they want Kentucky to go far. So, look, let's just say if South Carolina beats Oklahoma, they'll play Texas A&M. Texas A&M, they got up to like an 8-9, 10-point lead on the road against A&M before A&M made 20,000 consecutive three-pointers to close out the first half. So obviously that'd be a tough matchup to Justin's point. You know, winning 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games to make the NCAA tournament is going to be difficult. But so it would be Oklahoma, A&M, and then Arkansas would be the road the first 3 games. Arkansas is not a good matchup for the Gamecocks. And then you're probably looking at Alabama in the semis. And then in the championship, I just can't pick against Florida. So if you're holding out hope the Gamecocks have a losing record this season and get the NCAA tournament, I think you're holding on to false hope. But look, it all gets started Wednesday, and that's why these conference tournaments exist. Vanderbilt, I think, made it a couple years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago with a 500 record because they won the SEC. But I don't expect it. All right, so Justin and Alex, before I get you guys out of here, the West Coast Conference Tournament, do y'all have a favorite in there? Gonzaga, St. Mary's, who are you taking?
Gonzaga. All
right, we'll get Zags there. Big 12 has posted. Do y'all have a favorite in the Big 12? If you just look at it, the 1 seed's Arizona. 4 seed is Texas Tech, so they would match up in hypothetical. And then you have Houston and Kansas matching up in hypothetical. Houston. And Iowa State's and BYU, I guess, are the teams you're looking at.
Give me the sleeper in Iowa State.
I like that too. Alex?
I went Houston.
Okay, Houston. I love it. I'm a big Houston guy. You got the Big East tournament. St. John's, Creighton, Seton Hall, UConn, Villanova are the top 5, 6. Y'all have a favorite in the Big East.
St. John's.
I'm going to take UConn.
All right, I'm taking St. John's because it's in the Garden. But yeah. We have the ACC as well. Really looking at Duke, North Carolina, Miami, Virginia. I will say that, looking at the Big Ten, we don't have yet. But Michigan lost a key player to their rotation. Duke just lost Caleb Foster, key player to their rotation. Do y'all think that anybody can challenge Duke? Because I don't know if they can.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, no.
All right.
It just matters how much is Duke going to be – like, are they going to be upset if they don't win that tournament? Like, are they just more so looking toward NCAA?
Absolutely. I'm right there with y'all. So we got a lot of basketball coming ahead of us. Justin, tell the folks where to find you and how to get that promo.
Go to sportscapvalue.com. Go check us out. You can plug in Gamecock, all capital letters at checkout. Get 3 free days. We got the conference tournaments coming up this week. I mean, need to do a bracket too at some point, boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to have our initial thoughts on the NCAA basketball tournament. We're going to recap, Gamecock sports are happening. So probably a little bit of football on Sunday night, probably a lot more bracket stuff on Sunday night. And then Tuesday of next week, we'll have Justin, Alex, myself, and Mitchell Dieter, who comes on every year, who watches more college basketball than anybody imaginable. He has three TVs, and one of those is at like 85-inch that has 4 games on, and all he does is watch sports. So we'll have a big Tuesday night show where we'll be breaking everything down, give our predictions for the tournament, and maybe I can talk Justin and do a special promo for NCAA tournament. We'll see.
I think I can make that happen.
All right. Well, everybody, thank y'all for spending your time with us and you hang out with us, the most valuable thing you can give us, which is your time, like I always say. Thank y'all, and make sure you head over to SEC Sunday Night. Go watch that show, and you can always catch us on podcast if you can't watch live. For Justin, for Alex, for myself, have a great rest of the week. See you soon.